and welcome to our second in our broadcast on this series entitled The Failure of Fundamentalism. Stay tuned for our broadcast. It's not a very popular subject today to be talking about the failure of fundamentalism, but we need to face the facts and we need to face the future. The fact is that fundamentalism is a failure, and if we don't understand that, we're going to be in serious trouble in the future. We saw in our last broadcast that our fundamentalism began by human reasoning, leaving the scriptures out of their reasoning, bypassing the local church and starting a movement for which there is absolutely no grounds in the Word of God to have a movement. God's program for today is not a movement. God's program is the local church. His program is for pastors. Oh, we replace pastors. We're going to have presidents. We're going to have professors. We're going to have some of these fancy titles. We're going to do it like the world does it. And we're paying the price. Well, one of our problems about fundamentalism is our movement started out as a man-centered organization, and it is still man-centered today. Here is an example of our man-centered mentality. Recently, a concerned parent asked me for some guidelines for her children who were on Facebook. Well, I researched the site for 3 days. I made a survey of only 15 young people from independent Baptist churches in our area here in Ontario who were on Facebook. There were at least three times that many fundamental independent Baptist young people and their fundamental pastors in Ontario who were on this social networking site at that time. Well, as I checked things out, I found each of these young people from our fundamental Baptist churches had an average of 120 friends that they communicated with. I found the friends of these young people had friends who were promoting the occult, very vulgar sexual comments. One actually had the actual close-up photograph of a man's privates I found on some of the sites of our young people, our fundamental independent Baptist young people, a sex button that said, "Browse profiles of hot-looking people and have sex with them in different positions and different places. Put a have sex button on your profile so your friends can have sex with you." Yeah, that was on our fundamental independent Baptist friends sites. Their friends also had other material and photos too immoral, way too immoral to report in this broadcast. It took me another 3 days to get the trash out of my mind after being on the sites of fundamental independent Baptist young people. I published several articles warning pastors of the dangers of this site. Well, I got two different responses. Please keep in mind here that the issue is not Facebook we're dealing with. I'm dealing with the issue that fundamentalism is man-centered. One pastor from a smaller church wrote to me and said, "Thank you for this excellent warning, Brother Kirkland. At one time, I had profiles on three different social networking sites, and everything you said is very true. Even if someone's motives for being part of one of these sites is pure, they cannot help but be bombarded with immorality, pornographic or near pornographic pictures. Also, most of these sites have very sensual advertisements, including swimsuit calendars, pornographic screensavers, and dating sites that will pop up from time to time and are impossible not to see." Another response I got was from a well-known fundamentalist who was in the forefront of fundamentalism in this country at that time. He wrote to me and he said, "I just preached at Crown College 2 weeks ago and heard Dr. Sexton encourage his grads to stay in touch with him through Facebook." He continued, "Dr. Chappell and I talked about this when he was here last month. He twitters and has people that stay up with him daily. his conclusion, the pastor who wrote me, his conclusion was, I don't know that Facebook is sinful. Well, he came to his conclusion because of what other well-known fundamental leaders with a large ministry said. He ignored the facts in the article that I wrote, that of the testimony of the pastor of a smaller church who confirmed my writings about the trash-filled site. My letter that I got from the pastor started with the words, I think, and he told me what he thought after he reasoned together with other fundamentalists to see what they thought. He offered no scripture to support his conclusion. He referred to the opinions of successful-looking fundamentalists. Now, let me say again, fundamentalism is man-centered. It started out man-centered, and it's still man-centered. As I mentioned in the last broadcast, they reasoned among themselves, Matthew 16:7. Mark 21, they reasoned with themselves. Mark 2:8, they reasoned within themselves. Mark 8:16, they reasoned among themselves. 11:31, they reasoned with themselves. Luke 20:5, they reasoned with themselves. Luke 20:14, they reasoned among themselves. Jesus said, why reason ye among yourselves? Why are you doing that? I mean, there's the Son of God standing there. Maybe you could check with him. Well, what do we do when a good friend compromises? Peter and Paul were very good friends. Paul once stayed at Peter's home for 15 days, Galatians 2:9. Even if someone stay at your home for 15 days, if he's not a friend. Well, truth demands that pillars like Peter, who is called a pillar in Galatians 2:9, friend or not, are to be publicly confronted when they promote false doctrine that will lead others astray. We read that Peter's action caused others to disassemble. The word means act hypocritically. Likewise with him. Peter was acting like a hypocrite, and so were his friends. Insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. The word means hypocrisy. In verse 14, Paul rebuked Peter before them all, it says, and in so doing, Paul did not cause disunity. Peter had already done that. Well, when Paul, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, publicly exposed Peter for leading people astray, Peter would obviously respond in one way or another to this rebuke. How did he respond? Well, it's interesting, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15, he referred to Paul as our beloved brother Paul, and he made reference to him as the wisdom given unto him. Prior to that, at the council meeting at Jerusalem, recorded in Acts chapter 15, Peter defended Paul in their discussion concerning the very thing that Paul had publicly confronted him about. The Bible says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised there is wisdom. Proverbs 13:10. Well, how do we deal with our present-day issues? We have some leaders today who are running under the banner of fundamentalism, who are leading people astray. They may be good friends, however, they need to be rebuked before all. How should our friends in the ministry respond when they're spiritually and scripturally rebuked? Well, God has raised up a ministry for such a time as this called Way of Life, under the direction of David Cloud, who faithfully takes his very unpleasant responsibility of exposing compromisers. He is a very frank, outspoken man of God, like the Bible says we all should be. He has printed many facts concerning the compromises of some fundamental leaders. Brother Cloud receives much verbal abuse from people who call themselves fundamentalists. One recent response Brother Cloud received said he needed to stop this hating of people, and he was referred to as some kind of lunatic. Now, if Brother Cloud was exposing someone who wasn't one of our friends, he would be admired for telling the truth. However, to expose someone in our group is to be a hateful lunatic. Again, fundamentalism started out as a man-centered movement, and it is still a man-centered movement today. Maybe the fundamentalists of today should publish a new version of the Fundamental Bible concerning doctrines. They'd have to change a few things, like 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which is received of us, unless, of course, you think it will cause those friends in the ministry to dislike you and send you a mean letter. Maybe that's how we could change that verse. How about 1 Thessalonians 5:20 that says, hold fast that which is good. Unless, of course, it is something your friends are holding to that is unscriptural, then you can hold on to whatever they're holding on to. That'd be a good way to end that verse, wouldn't it? 2 Timothy 4:2, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, unless it might offend one of your friends. How about Titus 2:15, rebuke with all authority, unless you might lose a friend. Or John 7:24, judge righteous judgment, unless it might get one of your buddies upset. 16 and 17, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them, unless you think it might bother your friends. We don't want to bother your friends. And then how about 1 Timothy 3:14 and 15, these things write I unto thee, that thou mightest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. But if you think you have a better way, then just go ahead and do that which is right in your own eyes. Well, we have some warnings against the way we're going in this day and age, which we call fundamentalism. The Bible says that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, Romans 15 and verse number 4. What was written? Well, back in Psalm 78, verse number 55, God says he made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. That's what he said. Well, Israel rejected God's plan for what they thought was a better way. The leaders in Israel's day, like the leaders of our day, decided they had a better plan. They were weary with dwelling in tents, and they wanted to do things like the world does them. So in 1 Samuel 8:4, it says, then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel and said unto him, make us a king to judge us like the nations. We want to do it like the nations are doing it. Well, God wanted tribes living a simple life. The word tribe or tribes is in the Bible over 350 times. It was God's plan for Israel. Numbers 24 and 5 says, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob. Psalm 78:55 said, he made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. Well, God's plan for Israel was very plain, and it was very simple. Israel was divided into 12 tribes. God had ordained priests to teach, and in turn, parents were to lead their families in the way of the Lord. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 6:4, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Well, before Israel entered the promised land, they followed God's plan. In the wilderness, it was God's plan for the priests to teach, and the parents were to be sure their families understood the things that were being taught. It was in this context that we read, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. Numbers 24, verse 5. When Joshua led Israel into the promised land, we read that the plan remained the same. Psalm 78:55 says, God cast out the heathen also before them and divided them an inheritance by line, made the tribes to Israel to dwell in their tents. Well, the Philistines were a threat to Israel, and the elders of Israel did not trust God to cast out the heathen like he said he would. 1 Samuel 7:3, Samuel said, prepare your heart unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. There's a promise from God. Well, the elders decided they would rather trust their own plan, like we did back when we started our movement. In 1 Samuel 8:4, then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel and said unto him, make us a king to judge us like all the nations. We want to do it like all the nations are doing it. Well, it was God's purpose to show himself powerful through his tribes, and in our age, it's God's purpose to show himself powerful through his local churches. But we didn't trust God, and we didn't trust his plan. God did not need his people in Israel to take things in their own hands and fight the battles like the nations do it, and neither did God need for us to do that. All we needed to do was trust him and obey. Well, we're out of time again. There you have it, plain and simple. We'll continue this series tomorrow. Be sure and tune in.